One of the first things Rudy ever told me, he said, your spiritual work starts with making your bed in the morning. Which didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I have made my bed every morning. And now it's starting to really make sense. So many people think that their spiritual life somehow removes them from the world. And Rudy said, this material life is your spiritual life. This is it. So many people, when they sit down to meditate, want to leave all of their tensions and their emotions and their mind stuff behind. The whole idea of sitting is to get rid of all that for many people. And so many people in meditating make this effort to transcend themselves, thinking that somehow you can get beyond your physical self by meditating, that you can escape the burden of being human by becoming spiritual. But it's just the opposite. You enter your spiritual life by becoming deeply human. Instead of transcending your tensions, you accept your tensions. You go toward them, not away. So often when one sits down to meditate or comes to class, you sit down and you go, I'm in the wrong place. I'm too tired. I'm feeling this emotional weight. I feel this heaviness in my head. Whatever your thing is, or my thing. And it used to be in my mind, well, I've got to get rid of that. I've got to change that. Take a deep breath. Fight it. Make it different. You know, be lightheaded and spiritual and, you know, free. And what I was really doing was trying to get away from what I was, which was heavy-headed, emotional, tense. And what happens when you sit down and you let yourself be all of those things? Not that you say, I love it, because it's not so lovable, but you go, this is what it is. This is, I'm heavy-headed, tense, emotional. And you just move toward it rather than back away. You accept rather than deny. You embrace rather than reject. And what happens is the essence of spiritual life. The moment you don't fight your heavy-headedness, your tension, and your emotion, you're one with them. It's like, ah, okay. The minute you're one with them, not that they exactly go away, although they kind of do, but they don't matter. It doesn't matter. Because there's no rejection, there's no resistance, there's no fighting. It's surrender, allowing. And that allowing begins to instruct you, and you begin to realize who you are at any given moment is fine. You may not be comfortable with who you are, but that's only because your mind is analyzing and rejecting it, comparing it to something else. So you thinking, well, I like it when I feel relaxed and at ease, and I'm not feeling that way, so therefore how I'm feeling is wrong. And so you fight that, trying to make it something else, and the fighting makes it worse, really. It makes it more complicated. So if you just go, well, this is what it is. Walk into the situation with that in place. As soon as you allow it, it shifts. It just shifts. And it's not burdensome. It's kind of easy. It's strangely natural. We are strange creatures. We are really complicated human entities that bear unbelievable burdens of being. And we bear them with a lot of difficulty because we remember being a little child and free of all of these things, and now as we got older, the weight of the world is on our shoulders and life is hard and all these struggles. But that whole progression is absolutely necessary, first of all. And secondly, it's the comparison to your freedom that makes the burden seem so difficult. So don't use your mind to compare it to anything. Just go, this is what I'm experiencing. For better, for worse, this is what I'm experiencing. And the moment you go, okay, it is okay. It's okay. Wow. Many of us, over the course of a lifetime, develop a personality or an ego that is built on years or decades of resisting what we felt. Bending and twisting ourselves into a mold that allowed other people to like us or honor us or maybe even hate us, if that was our energy connection. We all found a way to do the thing that, in a sense, made it possible to get through the day. Often, you arrive at a place where you don't like that personality, or you don't like huge portions of it. And you find yourself in a kind of endless war zone, not liking who you are, not feeling worthy, not appreciating yourself on any level, or only on a few levels. You think of yourself as, I'm okay here, but the rest of it's horrible, and how would anybody ever like me? And all that kind of crazy mind stuff that goes into what is, in fact, everybody's personality. Everybody's. And that liking, disliking of oneself becomes a very dominating current in the course of your life. And you find yourself often in a place of endless embattlement. You know, I used to get up every morning and weigh myself. I don't do that anymore. Every time I did it, I was either loving myself or hating myself. You know, oh God. And then, you know, I ate way too much. I don't, you know, I'm incredible. I just lost a pound. I'm a wonderful person. And you get into this image of self that starts the war zone. For me, first thing in the morning, you know, I'm not right with myself. It's right, it's wrong, whatever it is. Your hair doesn't look right. The whole body mode, the whole personality mode is, for most of us, a source of struggle. I stopped getting on the scale. I stopped reading the front section of every newspaper. I just decided to let myself not be in battle mode with me and with the world. I can choose, really choose, to be open and allowing and accepting, and I can choose what I want to let in and what I don't want to let in. I can choose the world I live in. And I can find this extraordinary thing that happens every day, which is I just tune into me. And what do I tune into? I just feel. I literally just feel. How do I feel? And I don't try to change it. I don't try to meditate it away. I just go, okay, this is tight. My mind's involved in this thing over here. This is on the agenda. The lower back's a little off. All these little things come in. A lot of it has to do with the physical. And I realized that's what I'm conscious of. Excuse me. Consciousness is what you are aware of. Consciousness is not, oh, I'm awake. Consciousness is what is informing your awakeness. I'm very aware of Beau's orange shirt, of Marjorie's blue shirt. I'm very aware of the presence of an extraordinarily rich group of human beings around me. I'm aware of the containment of this room. I'm aware of my body sitting on a pillow, the straightness of my back. I'm aware of my head. I'm aware of my trunk. I'm aware of my being. That is consciousness. And if you really get quiet, rather than having your consciousness be often, what are they going to think of me if I don't do this tomorrow and I should be at that job and I don't have this problem, if that's where your consciousness is, you're missing where you are, what you're feeling, what's going on. You're missing the totality of you. The totality of you is, what do you feel? Where are you? This is it. And rather than fight the itness of it, you just go, ah. When you do that, this consciousness expands into wherever it goes, and you become larger and fuller and amazed by what your awareness is and how big it is, how vast it is, how sensitive it is, how the inner workings of your psyche are at play in your physical form. As a teacher, as it expands into the people I'm sitting with, I feel your entire physicality. I feel you. I really feel your being, your presence. And there's something that happens, I can't explain it, that in feeling it, I begin to embrace it as my own. Not Bruce, really. As the self, the shared self. And as I feel your structure, if you will, and your being, I feel where it is unconscious, if you will, and I move consciousness to that space. And that somehow links up with your own awareness, and something goes shift, this little shift. And there's an opening and a flow that is automatic, and I feel it in both of us. This is where a teacher comes in handy, because sometimes we can't get quiet enough, focused enough, centered enough to allow our consciousness to go to these deeper, subtler places. And once a teacher helps you do that, you become more capable of feeling and touching these places on your own. None of us walks around carrying the physical teacher with us. But we do, if we're lucky, get a person in our life like Rudy, who I don't carry him around in any physical sense, but Rudy is a true living presence in my life. And because of Rudy, I can recall, as he told us many, many years ago, what you need to hear will come up when you need to hear it. And it does. Things I've said to you, things Rudy has said, things that have passed through this room will arise whenever you need them throughout your whole life. And it won't even really be from Rudy, and it's not even from Bruce. It's really from the self. It comes up and it repositions you. It becomes part of your consciousness. It arises into awareness, and you go, oh. And what it does, what's so remarkable about it, if you're really consciously working spiritually in your life, meaning being present, every moment has a informational awareness that will come up in you and help you in that moment. Every second of your life, it is present. It is amazing to watch it work. It is amazing. It is not always comfortable. I went to a party last night. I don't always like going to parties because they're so unknown and there's usually so much work. But I just go in and I just say, here I am. Who's in front of me? Who's there? And people come in front of you, and I don't know why they're there. I don't know why I'm sitting next to them at the table. I don't know what I'm supposed to say or do. I have no idea who they are in my life. And I don't fight that. I don't go, oh my God, I got to present my ego, myself, to do the Bruce dance. And so we just begin to do this exchange. We do this exchange. And this thing starts to go deeper and deeper, and it gets richer and richer, and something just leads you through it. You start to find there's something that wants to unfold here. And it's very much like a class. And so last night I had one after another, after another, after another of these revelational moments with all of these people. And it was so beautiful. And I knew they were having it because I could feel the exchange. It was life-giving. It was life-exchanging. It was the dialogue of being. And it's what we all hunger for, we all look for in our daily existence. And it's so present. It's so there all the time. What's not there, and I've said this a million times, is us. We're there going, what do they think of me? Was I funny? Did I say the right thing? You know, how am I coming across? You know, did I get something on my shirt? You know, I mean, whatever the thing is that makes your mind go off, all you can do when that happens is go, yeah, that's what Bruce does. And then you just go, you bring it back. You just bring it back. And you just be again. When you don't try to be anything, when you don't try to be clever, you don't try to be funny, you don't try to be anything, you just are. When you just are, it's strangely perfect. Perfect. It's amazing how it serves the world, how it serves you and everyone around you. You become a vehicle for consciousness, a vehicle for love, a vehicle for acceptance, a vehicle for allowing others to be themselves. It's a remarkable thing. And you discover what you've been sitting for all this time. Because the more you just become present in this world, you are presence in its true nature. If you're living a life loathing yourself, hating yourself, hating the day, hating the people around you, wishing you had a better job, wondering why you're so cursed by everything that's going on in life. If you're living that kind of a life, and I know a lot of people who are, there's no way out of it without you saying, stop. Without you saying, I don't want to live this anymore. There's no way out of self-loathing without you choosing not to loathe yourself. The only help possible is to find a lover, a teacher, someone who loves you anyway. Some people are lucky to find that. They find someone who just loves you, independent of all of your absurdity and your craziness and your loathing. Someone who just cares. It's not all that common. But I will tell you this about a teacher, because I met it with Rudy. He loved me no matter what. He loved me as I was, totally accepted it. And he told me, you're an idiot and you're crazy and all of this stuff. But he loved me. And through that love, this change in my life became possible. I'm learning really deeply the value of loving and accepting everyone in my life. And you have no idea how much I love and accept you guys. You have no idea. It is so big, it is so profound, it is so ongoing and endless. And you bring that into your daily life, and you do that to the people around you. You bring that love and that care into the people around you, and you create a world in which people are free to be who they are, exactly as they are, and what happens is they become happy people. And they stop loathing themselves. They start to be people who are able to function in the world, who become real in their lives, who give up the illusions and the dramas of their life. They just want to be who they are, which is all any of us want. We just want to be who we are. And we would love the world to say, that's okay. You don't want your mother to say, you can't wear that. You don't look good in that. That's not right. You can't do that. You can't go there. You know, all those shaping moments from your childhood really have enormous long-living components in us. You know, our own parents didn't love us as we were. That's painful. That's really painful. They wanted us to be other. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can't live like that. That's wrong. This, you got to do this. I mean, they needed to do that, and the world is structured for them to do that. So there comes a point where you as an adult have to say, I forgive them for doing what they had to do. But then you have to get past that, and you either have to reparent yourself, or you have to find a teacher who helps you be reparented. Someone who says, I love you, or a partner who does that. But, you know, even partners are tricky. You know, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but please just put your toothbrush there. Which is just the beginning of something, you know. You know, why don't you use the rest of the toothpaste? You know, you don't have to throw it away yet. You know, it goes on and on. And then you start to see that you're being rejected in all these funny little ways, and then they're not so funny and they're not so little. It goes on and on. This has to be a real commitment and real spiritual life. Real spiritual life is making your bed in the morning, not telling your partner to put their toothbrush in a different place, not having to tell them to squeeze it to the last drop, allowing them to live their life the way they need to live their life, allowing people their room to be and to grow, and allowing yourself to mess up. You know? So if you tell someone to do the toothbrush and they get, why are you ordering me around? Battle zone, you know, over a toothbrush. And then you go, you know what? I didn't mean to do that and I'm really sorry. It's all taken care of. Done. It's not being able to do that that gets us into unbelievable stress in our lives and confusion and misery. And people live miserable lives for the stupidest reasons imaginable. So, here I am telling you, your spiritual life is making your bed in the morning. Your spiritual life is knowing that after you make the bed, there's a journey every day. And you know what that journey is, and it has a lot of predictability and a lot of non-predictability. But that journey is occurring, and it occurs this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, and it goes on and on and on, and every one of those moments you have an opportunity to be present and to allow and to accept and not resist and not fight. And if you do that, your life will become deeply spiritually alive. It's not by sitting in meditation and leaving the world. It's sitting in meditation to learn how to be in the world. That's what it's for. Any questions?
Look how it's so easy to say, but it's not easy to do. Why?
The real reason is that the mind is habitually in the wrong place, meaning the mind is always out of our control, always deeply, deeply involved in what happened last month and should have happened or didn't happen, where I think I want things to go. It's so caught in that struggle of past and future that we don't allow ourselves to just sit here. And the great thing about meditation is the practice of being present. the practice of letting go for half hour or whatever you sit for of all the other stuff. And what happens with most people when they sit down is that 29 minutes of that half hour is spent fighting that battle. And the last minute you finally go, oh. And after 20 years of doing this, you get 24 minutes of battle and 6 minutes of, oh. And after 40 years, you don't fight the battle so much. You just go. I mean, I look at my mind, I watch it, because it's just like your mind. It's like we all have the same mind. It all does the same thing. I just look at it and go, oh well, there it goes. And the second I do that, I'm not in it. I'm not on that ride. I can actually go, I can turn off the mind now, in most cases, like you turn off the TV. Although I watch a lot of people who can't turn off their TV. Literally, they just keep changing channels. Hours. And then as soon as it's off, go to the computer and get onto that one, and then turn on the iPod. And, you know, endless, endless, endless distraction and noise. Meditation is 30 minutes a day of trying not to do that. And when you get that working, when you really get that working, your life changes dramatically because you learn to be present in the moment. You learn not to need to be distracted. You learn that every moment is rich beyond imagination. That it is infinite, meaning you can go anywhere in it. You can sit in a room, and there's infinite exploration possible. Or you can just be still. Just be still. Consciousness and awareness is not mind. Consciousness and awareness is what you feel, what you intuit, what you experience. Mind is what you make of it, how you play with it, how you put it together, tear it apart. Let go of mind and just experience, just be, and recognize this is what is real. It's real. It's very real. And you become aware of consciousness. You become aware that this is happening, but you don't manipulate it in any way. You don't react to it. You just, in a sense, witness it, and you experience what I would call a kind of state of, it varies, but often it's what I would call awe. Like, oh, this is extraordinary. This is precious. This is amazing. This is wonderful. It can also be, this is awful. This sucks. But you don't get caught up in it. You just go, it sucks. And then you really understand, like with everything, that it's of a limited duration. Because trust me, the next moment arrives. And you never know what it will be, ever. Ever. Your mind will predict it to be this, 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 this. But it doesn't know. It just can predict based on past. But what really will come? Just be ready. Stay open. It'll be amazing. Does that help at all? Okay.
This isn't really a question. It's more of a thank you. For over 13 years, walk down and hug you and say, how did you know how to speak to this exact... this exact idea that just, for me, always felt like where my mind was at. I think maybe this sort of, for me, this underlying... this thread of frustration through my whole practice has always been about the question that was just asked. Easy to say, harder to do, and today just tied that, at least for me personally, because there was always this idea of the spiritual life here, real life here, and hence there was this intellectual component, because I couldn't bring them together always. And then today, just, well, they are. That's because they're not separate. They
ever. Are together. They're never apart.
And 13 years.
Well, 40 years I'm getting. You know, it takes time. I mean, time isn't real exactly, but it takes constant repetition. Mm-hmm. You know, going around the sun so many different times until you grow up. Until you go, oh. And then it's clear. And, you know, and it has to go through that. There's no other process. You know, a flower doesn't go from a seed to a flower like overnight. It's the whole process. And you're doing it. I mean, you really are doing it, as is everybody in this room is doing it. And I get to sit there and look at these beautiful flowers. You know, they're all blooming.
Very real problem. That's exactly what you're talking about. And I think from this practice, one of the like the greatest benefits and joys in my life is that I get to see my flaws so clearly. And when I have trouble accepting how other people are, like what that's the change in me is that instead of just being uncomfortable, I go, wow, isn't this great that I have this thing that I can work on that's going to transform me. And then I share it with somebody who's very close to me, who I really love, and then he says, what is wrong with you? And then it really hurts my feelings, and then I shut down and I go, sometimes I just try to explain it like this is my process and it's not bad, it's really good, but it still hurts my feelings anyways, and I never know what to do with those hurt feelings.
Well, I mean, that's what's in front of you. So what do you do with them? As they arise, I will suggest you accept them.
Just accept
and
them.
Allow them. Yeah, they just came up. They came up for a very real reason. You weren't accepted. Your process wasn't accepted. You weren't loved or allowed to be who you are in that moment. You were rejected, and that hurts. And just acknowledge, that hurts. And life, most people do not walk around loving and accepting us. Mostly they walk around judging us in one way or another, usually not for the way we want to be judged. And for most of us, it is a state of constant pain, and we live in a constant state of trying to make that not happen. How can I best, if I wear this dress or this shirt or this thing today, they'll love me. If I comb my hair this way, I look that way, lose 12 pounds, whatever your thing is that's going to make them love you, that's how we live. And that's exhausting. Forget it. Let him do this thing, or and tell him, just in fact, just say to him, what you're doing really just hurt me, really deeply. You know, I'm telling you that. I'm sorry that it does, and I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but I'm going to tell you that what you're doing is painful for me. Let him know that. Why not? I mean, what you discover, at least what I've discovered, is that moment to moment, your real life and your spiritual life have to be honest and really express the truth of what's going on, as best you know it. If you're feeling something and you're aware of it, you can acknowledge it. You can say it. It helps. You know, we're all constructed in such different ways. So many people have no empathy, no ability to understand any of this. Some people have great empathy. The variability of the human condition is so extraordinary that you cannot predict the full depth of another human being. What you do is you go through this endless discovery and try to find a way day to day to open to the reality of what is in your life. This person's in your life, you work it through. It's really a great thing.
I find what's helpful in that situation too is to look at my addiction to the thought that this person is supposed to accept me fully and look at the reality that that's for me to say, is this person really supposed to accept me fully? And when I realize perhaps not, then there's something for me to work on. It's not so much about them.
Yeah, I think it always comes down to you can't make anybody do anything. But you have great capacity if you're willing and strong enough to change yourself. It's totally your responsibility. And learning that, boy, that's hard. But it's really the lesson. You can do it. You can make the change. If you want it, it's yours. But finding that moment, that's real courage, real strength, and in a certain sense, moment to moment in your life, that's what you're being led to do. So, thank you guys. Let me do a quick few things. I had a birthday this week, and many of you recognized it, and I was incredibly grateful. Incredibly, I didn't know how much I wanted it to be recognized, and I realize how everybody wants their birthday recognized. You really do. So, those of you who did, I thank you. I really do thank you. Those of you who didn't, don't be guilty. But there is something, that came up for me, which was, is there any gratitude here in the class itself? Is there gratitude? You know, we've been doing this for, you know, a long, long time, and any opportunity to express gratitude. I mean, I remember with Rudy, I almost couldn't express it enough. And there are certain people in this room who I get emails from all the time just saying, thank you, thank you. And it's corny on some level, but boy, does it means something. It really means something. And I try to express whenever I can my gratitude to others. So I tell you this just because it's important to let people know you care, you acknowledge, you're there. And I got one card, I won't tell you who from, but it's wishing me a birthday-ish greeting, because it was clearly fudging a few days. But it was like the sweetest thing. It was a way of saying, I didn't quite make your birthday, but I'm in the zone. It's okay. It's all fine. But the acknowledgement of another person's place in your life means something. And it's good to remember that. It's really important, I think. And for all of us, for each other, to do that. So I'm just telling you that. And also, I wanted to say, next week, my son Ari is running the marathon on Sunday, and I really, really, it's important to me to be there. So I'm going to have class on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock here. I don't know how that affects any of your schedules. Those of you who can make it, come. Those of you who can't, miss a week. But next week will be Saturday at 10. Okay? Pardon? Yeah.
I had a little moment of wanting to share a moment of gratitude, but I can tell you later.
Well, that was sweet. Okay. You can share it.
Well, no, I came in from New York for the weekend, and I had this crazy thing where I missed my flight, and then I had to purchase another ticket, and I was like, am I really going to pay $500 to come? Da, 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 da. I ended up doing it, and I sat here listening to you, and I just thought, I would have paid $1,000 to come. So,
that's very sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I really love you guys. You have no idea. I just love you, and thank you for coming.